Testament reading for this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah. And before I begin reading, would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, what a great privilege it is to come this morning to hear your word read and proclaimed. Lord, may the truth of this word, Lord, rest in our hearts and minds and be reflected in our actions. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, reading from Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 13. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, and each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people callous, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "For how long, O Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitants, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." And then from Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 13. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it, without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed." And then from Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. This is the parable of the sower. "That same day Jesus went out to the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord.
Jackie's dad, Oscar, read his Bible every day, and sometimes he got very frustrated. He never hesitated to express his frustration, almost sometimes angry. He said, "Why is this so difficult to understand? Why does Jesus talk in parables? Why didn't he just tell us?" And here we have the disciples asking the same question, right? Why do you speak in parables? Why don't you just tell us? Well, there's many answers to that question. I'm going to give you a few of them. Number one, when he is speaking, when Jesus is talking, he's talking in public places. And people are expecting him as the Messiah, and in fact that he is the Messiah. They are looking for someone to restore Israel to its former glory. And they think he's going to lead a military revolution and throw the Romans out. And so if he's talking about setting up his kingdom, and there's a Roman soldier who overhears it, how much further is he going to get? So when he asked to talk in parables, or sometimes in coded language, so that only the people who need to hear the message can in fact do that. Second reason is, as he's explaining here, as he actually talks about in the beginning of when he tells it, he says at the very end, whoever has ears, let them hear. In other words, there's more to this than just simply the story. Pay attention. Think about it. Work on it a little while. Work it out and try and truly understand what I'm saying to you. Now, most of us learn better when we actually have to work through a problem, right?
Between this session.
If somebody just simply gives you the answer, you may not even remember it. At least that's the way I am. But if I have to kind of noodle my way through it and really struggle with it and study it, I'm going to retain it much longer. And so part of the message that he's giving here, the reason he speaks in parables, we are to study this and work at it. And I hate to disappoint you, but coming just for an hour, actually about an hour and 10 minutes, as usual, what we spend on Sunday morning, is not quite what he had in mind. He expects us to read our Bibles, study them, and work on this so that it has lasting impact on us. But then, the answer that he gives here to his disciples usually doesn't make much sense to us. He says, you know, this knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to other people. And then he talks about how they're going to hear, but they're not going to hear. They can see, but they can't really see. What's all this about? We have to go back to the Old Testament. What he's quoting here is from the prophet Isaiah. And he says that. So, the first passage that Terry read from is from Isaiah chapter 6. And this is where he's quoting. And the problem as he's quoting this is we don't truly understand it. Because when we read Isaiah chapter 6, we start off about the year that King Uzziah died, and I saw the Lord seated high on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And what an exalted passage, right? And then sometimes we use this passage when we're going to commission somebody to service, certainly when there's a missionary who's going to be sent off, or a new pastor, because who am I going to send? And Isaiah says, hey, send me, right? That's what we use it for. But then the Lord says immediately afterward, go and, here's the commission he gives. Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. We don't like that part. We like the Lord seated on his throne, right? We don't like, what is all this about? How is he sending the prophet and the people are not going to understand or hear? Well, part of our problem is one of selective listening or selective reading. I'm sure that some of you parents or grandparents even can imagine that. You know, when you have children, you say, okay, it's time to clean up your room. It's time to clean up your room. I see some knowing nods out there. They don't hear that, do they? But then, when it's a hot day, they may be in a whole different part of the house, and you whisper, little feet come running in, I want some ice cream! Right? Well, we all are guilty. Now, it's easy to say that to children. You know, a few months ago, I had a hearing test, and in the hearing test, they had a female voice for part of it and a male voice for part of it. And I thought, oh, good, this is going to be great. I'm going to be able to go home and tell Jackie that I just can't hear female voices that well. Unfortunately, my test didn't turn out that way. But we do have selective hearing. We do have selective vision sometimes. We certainly have selective readings of our Bible. Because there's parts we like and we concentrate on them, right? You're like me. There's parts you like. And then there's other parts that we kind of skip over. And part of our problem with Isaiah is we skip over big chunks of Isaiah. It's hard to work out. Usually we do start in chapter 6, this vision of God, and then we skip to the Emmanuel and some of the root of Jesse and some of the Christmas passages, and we skip over to chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people. You all know this, right? Because you do it yourself. But Isaiah 6, what we ignore is the first 5 chapters. And in the first 5 chapters, Isaiah, speaking for God, condemns Israel for their sins over and over again. And so finally, when he has condemned them and judgment is coming, then Isaiah has this vision of the Lord. And God is saying, who am I going to send who's going to pronounce this judgment against my own people? That's Isaiah 6. And by the way, Isaiah, you're volunteering for this terrible task. Legend has it that Isaiah was cut in half with a saw for bringing the Lord's message to his people. But you have this terrible task, and they're not going to listen to you. But you still have to be faithful in bringing them. You have to bring this message to them, and they're not going to be hearing it from you. And so Isaiah said, Lord, how long? And the Lord answers, until the city's light is in ruin. Until everything's burning up. But there will be a seed. There's going to be something that's going to grow up after I cut down this tree. After the judgment, there will be salvation. But judgment comes first. We don't like to read that. We also don't very much like to read the condemnation that Isaiah has for his own countrymen. We like to think, well, they worship idols, right? And so it was for their idolatry. And yes, Isaiah does talk about it. He used sometimes about their idolatry. But usually he used to say, how stupid are you? You're worshiping this thing that you made, can't hear, can't see. And if you want to move it around, you've got to put it in a cart. And oh, by the way, nail it down so it doesn't fall over. And he's almost making a mockery of it. But what he talks about in chapters 1 through 5 and actually throughout it, he says over and over again, you have not been taking care of the poor, the needy. You have not given justice to the oppressed. You've not taken care of the foreigner, of the widow, of the orphan. That is what you're called to do. And I'm reminded of the events of the last few days. Oppression is still very, very apparent here. It's not just a problem in ancient Israel. We've had a terrible situation in Charlottesville this last week, where white supremacists have been going out expressing an extreme form of racism and people have severely been hurt. That is evil. And it has to stop. And it starts with us, all of us. We all have those seeds within us. I feel like lamed up now that I've made my announcement that I'm leaving here next April. But for almost 14 years, I've been preaching a similar message. We love and serve God by loving and serving one another. Right? A lot of you have heard that over and over again. And I'm not going to stop preaching that. And oppression starts when we do not love one another. When we think of ourselves as better than someone else, that is evil, and it has to come to, has no place in the family of God. No place in the family of God. Well, one of the problems with preaching every week is I know you get much further with carrots than you do with sticks, and you have to try and find this balance. There is good news. Just hang on a little bit. There'll be some great carrots at the end. But we have to understand, why is it that we can read some of these things and kind of ignore them and say, well, that's a problem in Israel, but if they apply to us today, here, just in a little different form. And oppression and injustice, not taking care of those who need care, is the same problem that we have that they have. And God condemned them for that and said, your cities are going to be in ruin. They went into exile for years because of it. And that should be a strong warning for us. We see it differently because Jesus came and died to take away that evil. And if we claim to be Christians, if we came to claim to be followers of him, we need to live like that. We need to shine and reflect his values back instead of the evil values of the world. So we now get back to the parable of the sower. And Jesus talks about the four different kinds of soils. And what kind of soil are you? Are you the hard path where the birds come and immediately eat the grain that you sow? Is that where you are? Are you the one who starts off with a bang and then when things get tough or with worldly concerns, choke it out? Which one? Or are you the good soil? Yeah, we're all good soil. Yeah, we like to think about that. So, what did Jesus say about the good soil? The good soil produces a crop. You'll be 100-fold. Or maybe 60. Or 30 times. Now, right now we're in harvest season in our gardens and hands, right? People are starting to harvest lots of things. I see some gardeners right over. When did you plant, Bob?
In late May.
Late May. About, what, 3 months ago. Okay. And so in 3 months' time, if you're a follower of Christ, if you're the good soil, then you're going to produce a crop of 100 more Christians. Maybe
maybe 60. How about 30? Anybody brought 30 people to Christ in the last 3 months? Well, let's try to do it a little different way. How about in the last 3 months, have you told the great news that Jesus loves somebody to 100 people? 60? 30? Maybe we're not such good soil after all. Because as Jesus tells this parable, he's talking about producing results for him. You see, Christianity is not just feeling good about ourselves and getting our ticket into heaven. It's what results do we have. How do we reflect and spread God's love among the people around us? That's what the crop is. Spreading God's love and letting other people know that. Well, part of the problem as we read this parable and others, first of all, we would like to read it selectively, and we like to say, oh yeah, I know, but I'm the good soil. We think that. And then we skip that we're supposed to produce results. That's our selective hearing or selective reading. We skip that little part. That's kind of the test. But the good news, and here's the carrot coming, this is not the parable of the soils. I'm sorry, it's not about us at all. Now, he's giving an example of what happens. This is the parable of the sower. And who is the sower? The sower is God himself. And now we get to go back to a great part of Isaiah. Turn with me to chapter 55. This is one of the parts we like to read. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts are higher than yours. God thinks differently than we do. Praise God for that.
Amen.
Okay? He's got a great plan for us. And as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and don't return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that yield seed, there we got seed for the sower, bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. This parable is about God the sower as he is spreading his word throughout the earth. And sometimes as we read this, we can say, oh my gosh, he's a wasteful farmer, isn't he? He throws the seed out and two-thirds of it goes to waste. Praise God that he keeps sending it out there, right? Because we're not all good soil yet. And God continues to send out his word. He keeps reaching out to us, even when we're the hard ground. And I have to confess to you, there's times that I am very hard. And I suspect maybe you are too. Most of the times I find myself in the other two categories, the next two, right? Maybe sometimes I have some good soil in me. But God is faithful. He sent Jesus, the Word, and he sends him out, offering him out to all of us, and he keeps going after us and after us and after us. He keeps sending his Word. He doesn't mind if some of it doesn't bear fruit. He doesn't mind. He's going to continue sending out that seed so that all of us can have a chance to respond. God certainly could bring his judgment, bring his salvation all at once, but he has chosen not to do that, to give us all time to soften our hearts a little bit more so that we can receive his word and help bear fruit for him. Thank God for that. Our hardness of heart, he keeps at us. He keeps throwing those seeds out to us over and over again. And yeah, the birds come and get them because we're too hard to receive it. But he still comes after each one of us. Over and over and over again. He sends his love. He sends Jesus to us over and over again. And invites us to respond. Knowing that only a small fraction of us are going to do it on any given day. But if we continue to listen to his word, look at all of it and try and reflect Jesus back. Try and have soft hearts that accept even the tough things that God says to us. Even loving those people who we find unlovable. Responding in kindness and grace instead of with a harsh response. And it can start right in our own homes. When was the last time in your home that you had a harsh word with your spouse? I'm not going to answer that question. Okay? Can start right there. How about with your kids? When was the last time that they you had to yell at them to get them to do something? Maybe there's another way to do that. When was the last time you had a harsh word with somebody? Or maybe you didn't say anything. Maybe you just had a harsh thought. Well, ultimately, your harsh thoughts are reflected in your actions, aren't they? I know they are. When I start thinking those harsh things about somebody else, somehow it works out. I do something that I later regret. We don't have to live that way. God continues to plant His seed of love in each one of us. And we can receive it and let it grow and share it with others. You see, the good thing about this increase, this hundredfold increase is when God sows His seed of love in us, it can flourish and grow and we can spread it out. Here in pains, just as it is in heaven. Amen. And now we get to spread some of our love with our time.